I love Good Shepherd Sunday. I don't know if any of you have been handled sheep, have been around sheep, domesticated sheep. I couldn't think of the word domesticated at the last Mass. I came up with pasteurized sheep. That wasn't quite right. They're not the smartest animals in the pen, domesticated ones. The wild ones are really smart, and somehow we bred the intelligence out of these. I don't know which one Jesus is referring to when he calls us sheep. I'm not sure this is entirely a compliment. But, you know, when we're facing spiritual realities, we really are like sheep. We really don't see what dangers lie outside. This is why we need a shepherd that lives in both worlds, both the spiritual and the material world. Not being yet fully spiritual beings, we cannot see around corners. We can't see what our choices will lead to. And the Good Shepherd does know this. So he speaks through locked doors, walls, and open doors. If I find a wall, maybe God doesn't want me to climb out that way, but to go out through the door, which Christ is. He uses a lot of imagery that really requires that we learn about what he's talking about. In Palestine, especially around Jerusalem, Judea was a very rocky and hilly place. It wasn't really good for agriculture, still isn't, but it was very good for sheep and herding animals. And so people, their wealth was often in the animals. You see this with Abraham, as far back as the stories of Abraham, nomadic shepherds, with that was their wealth. So what would happen is, there were two gates that Christ is talking about. One is the communal gate that the town would have, and the shepherds would place their sheep in there in one common gate at night. Of course, they were all branded. And it would have very fortified walls and a permanent gate, and the sheep were always safe in there. And many of the townsfolk did have shepherding, or were shepherds, or had them leased out to shepherds, because that was the main way people supported themselves. It was also the lowest caste in society, yet it was not a profession without talents. A shepherd has to be vigilant, watchful, they have to love the sheep, spend much time with them, be able to be alone, yet also have an instinct for gathering. And there were no sheepdogs, so they had to really work hard at this. When the sheep were let out, because the ground was frequently very dry, the grass was sparse at times, the sheep would spread out over a wide distance. And the shepherd who lived with the sheep, remember what the Pope said, that pastors are supposed to smell like the sheep? One of his wonderful comments. I said, I don't think, I love you, but I don't want to smell like you. I'm sorry. But I'm in the process of conversion here. So, but a real shepherd would smell like the sheep because he slept with them and lived with them and got to know them and gave them names. And he'd say, Betsy, come back here. She's way over here, off, going to be in danger if she gets away from the crowd too far. At night, they would come to, they had these little these openings in the hills that had been built in for shepherds, and they'd lead their flock into one of these places away from town. They would have an opening, three walls, or the three walls might be into a cave, but one side would be completely open to anyone, and the shepherd would lay his own body down over that opening and become the door. That's why Christ said, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He literally lays himself. May I get this image of him laying across the door so that we might not cross it? In other words, in order to go out and sin, we've got to go over Christ's body. And this is the image he's using. And it's a very powerful one when you know that part of what he's talking about. And Christ, one thinks about how you can tell his voice from that of the enemy. The enemy is within us that causes us to sin. At times it's the devil. At times it's our own concupiscence, our own desire for things we shouldn't have. But he said, you can know the voice of my enemy, or your enemy, because it will lead to, he wants to steal, to slaughter, and to destroy. The voice of God gives life in its fullness forever. But in the immediate, following Christ may not seem to be the most fruit-filled. Must be the sin has some attraction, or we wouldn't go following off this wolf that's climbed over a wall to get in. One of the questions is, what doors and windows do I leave open? How does sin get in? How am I being enticed out of the building? What have I let into my life? I remember this story. I think I told it when I was first came here. We lived in, when I lived in Los Angeles before I moved out, my parents lived in a home that had all the garages in the back on an alley, so the front was very beautiful, and it was on a slight hill. You could never see the cars. It was lovely. We also didn't know the neighbors very well. I don't know why people live in suburbia and don't know their next-door neighbors, but we had a neighbor a couple houses down. I was walking to high school and noticed they were moving, big moving van in the alley. I thought, gee, that's funny. I never even met these people, and now they're moving. Came back. They were not moving. There was a police officer in the front of the house, and the owner was up there, just must have been Italian, just with his hands like this, and would you believe that somebody stole every stick of furniture in that house? Everything except the phone attached to the wall. Yes, believe it or not, we used to have phones attached to the wall with a cord. And this is exactly what happened. Only the phone attached to the wall was left. Every single stick of furniture was gone. And I think about this. This guy got in through the back door. We didn't know him. These people did not have a community with us. They were isolated and alone, and the enemy knew their pattern and knew just where to go in and get them. But Christ the Good Shepherd encourages us to have a community of faith like St. Ed's, for example, and our family community. Let's think about Mother's Day today. This is how we live, is by calling each other by name. Christ works through the family, works through our church and through other relationships to keep us from making mistakes like this. And he wants to be the guard over our possessions, our spiritual possessions. But we also can let the evil one in. At times we let him in through the front door and invite him to dinner. This would be like if I have an addiction to pornography or something like this, I'm really inviting evil to come to dinner with me. But would I be showing that as a movie if Christ were coming to dinner? If I have to change the channel on the internet or on the TV, if Christ showed up at the front door, I probably shouldn't be watching it. That's the way I look at it. It's hard to find wholesome stuff anywhere you look. There's always trashy stuff, but that's a goal that we look toward. And we invite the Lord in. We invite the evil one in through our language that we use or that we don't use, through the company we keep. We have things like interfaith hospitality here. Almost every week there's some place we can extend ourselves to others. To be a self-enclosed person who is selfish, which is not our goal as Christians, is to not have any support. The shepherd can't speak to us because we're not open to God speaking. So we have all these. Christ leaves us with a discernment tool in this gospel. He says, you can tell my voice because I lead to life. I lead to fulfillment. I lead to peace. But perhaps not right away. I may have to go through a cross to get there. The enemy, whether it's within or without, leads to steal what is good in my life, to slaughter my hope, to destroy my life. Although immediately I may feel some fulfillment because I got what I wanted, but it wasn't the right way. And so in this way, the Lord teaches us we can't see our shepherd. He doesn't physically stand or lay himself down in front of our door of our home or our back door, but he is there guarding us and guiding us through the church, through the scriptures, through coincidences, through our conscience, through the people and circumstances of our daily life. Our shepherd is always around us. We pray that as we approach Pentecost Sunday, that the Holy Spirit will speak to us to guard us and guide us on this sometimes dangerous pilgrimage of life. Though we are to our sheep with Christ our shepherd, he wants us one day to become shepherds ourselves.